This is a Steam Studio production. Welcome to the Steam Spotlight, where we celebrate the inspiring work of students, educators, and community partners as they push boundaries and make a difference in STEAM fields. For this spotlight, we are excited to showcase Dr. Kristen Brenteson. Kristen is the director of NIU STEAM, and in her role, Kristen leads efforts to support interdisciplinary STEAM education and technology integration through regional and statewide professional development programs and annual events such as the Engaged Learning Conference. Kristen also works with state partners to support educators as they use data, technology, and open educational resources to support student success. For over 20 years, Kristen has enjoyed helping in-service and pre-service teachers become fearless with technology while they explore innovative ways to impact student learning. She is a former industrial engineer with an MS in instructional technology and an ED in instructional technology from NIU. Kristen, welcome to the STEAM Studio Spotlight. It is a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you, Russ. It's great to sit down at the table and actually have a chat.
Right? I've been looking forward to this. For all of our listeners, I want to reiterate that Kristen is my actual supervisor, boss, director of NIU STEAM. And I think this is a perfect place to start our STEAM studio with our leader and someone who has had a long-term vision about what we want NIU STEAM to be and what we want STEAM education, engaged learning, all of those wonderful things to be on the NIU campus and in our surrounding communities and the globe. So, Kristen, can we start at the beginning? How did you get to where you are now?
Oh, that is a long and twisted tale in the best way possible. I actually started my career as an engineer. So I went to school as a manufacturing engineer and was a process engineer for a few years up in Rockford. It was at that time, and I think maybe a little bit before during my internship, where I kind of fell in love with training.
Oh.
I remember playing a game called, was it Apples to Apples or Apples and Oranges? And it was a game that taught business finance and helped us better understand like business operations, like inventory and everything. And I remember sitting there going, this is kind of cool.
When you're unlocking the new interest.
I know. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hated finance. And it's like, this was actually kind of cool. And it was at that point where I started to see some of the intersections between engineering and how do you improve processes and help people be more effective and efficient in their job and the role that training can play in that. When I worked up in Rockford, one of my jobs was I had to make sure that our machinery wasn't down a lot because downtime meant you weren't producing anything.
Right.
And so did a lot of process, exploring the processes and realized a lot of it had to do with training, making sure that the folks who were running the machine knew the processes, and I did a lot of shop floor training. And so long story short, that is what helped me see that education, which was always a direction I was hoping to go at some point, and this engineering direction I ended up, really could live in harmony, and they were very connected. And so fast forward several years after I had a business, and that, you learn a lot when you have your own business. I went back into school thinking I would go back into the, corporate world and become a corporate trainer and doing some organizational development and all of that fun stuff. And it was through my master's and doc here at NIU in instructional technology where I fell in love with K-12 and I thought, oh my gosh, I love working with teachers. I love being in the classroom. And so for the last, oh goodness, has it been 20 years now? I've been working with teachers and students on helping them be fearless with technology and learning in new and creative ways and bringing some of that engineering flavor to education. And so people always ask, well, you started in engineering. How did you up in education? Right. I'm like, how do you not?
It makes perfect sense.
The path is very clear to me because it is so connected, and it was a lot of fun.
So you brought up a lot of different elements there that I'm really interested in. First thing, when you're talking about engineering, most of the time I envision someone that sits behind a green lamp and is working on blueprints and there's protractors all around and not many people. And the first thing that you really start talking about is how your engineering is really based in people. Do you find that to be still accurate with what you're doing? Like, is that something that kind of helped bridge that you're using the science, the technology side of it, but still having to help people?
Absolutely. I think it depends a lot on what field of engineering you go into. Mm-hmm. I was industrial engineering. Okay. And really, engineers solve problems. They Right. take scientific understanding and they apply it to solve problems. And many times those problems include people. Mm. Or the people are at the core of it, or trying to make lives better for people. As a process engineer, I had to look at how do people interplay into the system? What role do they have in the process? And how do we help the people work within the process and document the way that they interact with that? But also, I'm trying to figure out how best to describe it. A lot of it was, how do we design processes that also keep our people safe and healthy while also meeting our throughput goals and the manufacturing targets? So I think people do have a false assumption sometimes of what an engineer does. Mm-hmm. And there's so many more types of engineering beyond mechanical, electrical, industrial, biomedical engineering, civil engineering. There's so many really neat fields out there that are basically problem solvers within that different sector, or, thinking about innovation in these areas to make lives easier for people.
I really enjoy that sentiment. And as we're talking about making lives easier, you also did a great quote in there, and I'm not sure if you realize it, but being fearless with technology. And when we're trying to make people's lives better, whether it's through engineering, whether it's through processing or implementation of technology, that word fearless, I really enjoy that adjective, because I think when we don't know something, it gets scary really quickly for all ages. So as you're now in this phase of your role and your career, how do you approach someone that maybe is resistant to change or learning something new, whether it's a teacher of 20 years or a kindergartner who's scared of trying a new fruit?
So I think part of that comes down to our relation. We're afraid because we're afraid to fail in many times. And so if you think about, how are you helping people see that failure isn't a bad thing and that you're not messing up in a way that is unfixable? And so that whole concept came as I was working with teachers, and I first kind of came into the ed tech field right when some of the Web 2.0 stuff was happening. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly you have all of this technology that opens up, and we can see teachers and students and the normal everyday person be content creators and can use tools that really allow them to do things that they couldn't, like their voice could be heard in ways that mm-hmm. weren't possible before. And you'd put some of these tools in front of teachers and they'd be afraid to break it or afraid to do something wrong. But then you'd see students who would take some of the stuff and just with reckless abandon go in and be like, let me at it. And it's like, it's that kind of approach to trying something new that, you know, this might not work. I might fail, but I'll learn something from it. So why am I afraid to try? Because it's not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think some of that does come from the engineering because we approach things from a cycle, you know, or the engineering design cycle where mm-hmm. you know, you create something, you try it. If it doesn't work, you learn from it. You try the next iteration. So it's hard to be afraid of doing something when you know there's another iteration to come around where you could try it again.
I like that a lot because it's not an end. There's always a continuum that you can go on. Now, with my experience, I think as a learner, as someone who's gone through public education and is now gratefully working with teachers more than I ever have, I know that there's a lot of standards. There's a lot of what I'm going to define as rules, just as an overarching umbrella, that are in place to make sure our students are learning, they're growing. How do you merge those two of saying there's very explicit standards, there's things we need to teach and should be taught, with the mentality of being fearless and not being afraid to fail as a teacher or a student or a parent or any of those people that are a part of this education process as society?
So we talk a lot about what are our intended goals. Like, so if we are setting up a problem-based learning activity, it goes back to what do you hope the students gain from it and how are you going to know if they were successful? What does success look like? And so standards in there, whether it's, you know, reading, writing, math, how are we using the project and the experience to allow the students to either practice the skills or demonstrate that they have mastered the skills? So you can still do this with an eye to your learning objectives and what do the outcomes look like?
That's very interesting. So when you've worked, you've grown, you've learned, you're an expert, you have your doctorate, you've done all of these incredible things. How do you take that and help people apply what you've researched, what your background is in a way that is approachable for maybe some of these systems that are relatively ingrained or entrenched even? And I'm not trying to be negative or take a negative tone, but you're working with a district with thousands and thousands of students, you have to have those processes. So for someone that might be coming in and working with these teachers, what is one of those approaches to start tearing down those barriers, or how do you even go about that? How do you begin?
So I think for me, it's not about me. My background doesn't matter. I mean, it's my experiences that mm-hmm. That are part of my toolkit that I build on, but it's helping the teachers talk about what did they want for their students and what are they already doing that helps them get there. A lot of time it's looking a little differently at their classrooms or shifting their approach. And we talk a lot about how do we leverage curiosity and mm-hmm. how do we help our students become curious. And that's the same thing with the teachers too. So a lot of times when we go in and start working with teachers, one of the first things we do is we kind of outline what the STEAM framework is and our mm-hmm. philosophy, which, you know, is all about experiential learning and using the content areas as the conduit to just have great discussions and drive inquiry and get some hands-on experiences. And once we lay that out and say, well, this is what we try to do and how students respond to that, where are the connections to what you're already doing? Because so many teachers are already doing a lot of this. There's some really talented, creative educators out there who are doing amazing things in their classrooms. And what we try to do is help them recognize that and then build on that. We talk a lot, kind of connecting in with the STEAM framework, we talk about our three tiers of impact, which a lot of our programs and the way we interact with people are, you know, coming in at that first tier where we're just trying to inspire people. Mm-hmm. And that's when we're dealing with the most people. It's like, you know, we're getting you to ask questions. We're getting you to have those aha spark moments. And then the next step is, how do we amplify that? How do we build skills and build capacities based off of some of that initial aha moment, or, oh, I didn't think of trying that with my students. Okay, how can we help you do that with your students? How do we help you take that to the next level? What do you need? And then our third tier is transformation, and that's kind of the all in. Like, that's when you put it all together and you start putting in the pieces to change the approach, or putting more of the, you know, it's all about shifting the learning and the thinking to the students so that they're doing the hard work, not the teachers. I used to, when I would teach pre-service teachers, I would always ask them, actually, this wasn't my pre-service teachers class. This is when I was teaching freshmen, college freshmen. And it was all learning strategies and study strategies. And I would ask them to draw the picture of what learning looks like to you. And like, think about that for a minute. Envision in your head, if someone says, what does learning look like to you? What does it look like?
For me, it looks like someone reading. Like, okay. That's what, you know, a stick figure with an open book. That's what I envision.
A lot of times we would see people draw like a head that opened up and having somebody like dump information into it.
That's perfect, because like, I was like, oh, there's a squiggly above their head as well. Like, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like,
we think teaching and learning is there's somebody receiving the learning and then there's somebody delivering the knowledge.
Just pouring it in.
And I think part of the shift when we talk about transforming is shifting to this idea that the learner is just as responsible for it as the teacher. And it is...
I just got chilled. That's scary. Like, I think I heard a bunch of teachers all around. And you're like, oh, that. But that goes kind of counter to it, because you're like, oh, well, what if they don't care? Like, if we put the learning on the student, we like, we know what happens. Nothing gets done. Well,
how do we engage them? How do we make them care? How do we get them asking the questions? How do we connect it to things that they want to know about?
That they do care. I see.
How do we make it relevant? And it's the same when you're training teachers. If you look at the research and what the research says about teacher PD, I'm going to admit some teacher PD is really not fun. Like, we've all sat in
we all
some
have
of those
things.
And you're like, this was great. And one of the key pieces is, how is it relevant? Is this information relevant to me right now? And the same sometimes can be true for our students. How many times do we hear them say, when am I ever going to use this? Mm-hmm. Well, how do you frame it so that it's, oh, I need to know this because I need to know this to get to this answer or to accomplish this task. And that's really then the students driving the, you know, they're driving the learning and the activities. I'm not saying it's easy. Like, this is not an easy, like,
but
magic.
I don't think teaching, I don't think, anyone is saying teaching is easy.
Because we're all humans. We have complex brains. And
we're dealing with that as well. And we're having to learn and empower and let go, which can be sometimes just as scary as well. Especially, at least for me, I'm like, well, if I can control it and I can make it a good experience as long as I have complete control over it. And then you're like, oh, great. But I was the only one that learned anything in that experience, because it was just me dumping facts into their head and they're staring at me glazed and bored.
Well, and it goes back to this idea of fearless. If you want to try something different, you know that, like, sometimes even the best designed, most amazing lesson in your head, you get into the classroom and it's going to fail and fall flat. But knowing that, like, how do you learn from that? How do you reengage? How do you pivot? How do you bring it back to meet your learning goal?
I think that's why I gravitated so much to the fearless adjective, because especially in the last couple of decades, I think teachers have become an opportunity to criticize in in sometimes a good way and in sometimes an unfair way, but it's almost raised the standard for our teachers to be perfect, to not know something, to be wrong. Like you're the one, you have to know that. And if you ever make a mistake, there's ramifications, and that leads right into the way we teach our students, and that happens. So how can we start shifting that as a society? And here's the real question I want to get to is, so if you're a parent and you have a student, or you're working with your teachers and you're trying to do that, how do you partner in that relationship to make everything better for everyone?
I'm thinking, like, that's a great question. There's a lot to kind of unpack there, because I think one of the first shifts that we hear a lot from teachers being a difficult shift to make is that you might go into a classroom and teach a lesson or do a unit where you don't have all the answers and you're not the expert, and that's okay. Can you guide the students to find the answers together? Can you ask the questions that will help the students learn along with you? And that's okay. But you're right, that's very different than what some parents are used to seeing. And I always say education is probably one of the most difficult careers or fields to be in, because it's one of those that everybody has an experience with.
Oh.
If you think about it,
yeah,
we've all have some background knowledge or experience in education, whether you've been a student, elementary, college, whatever. Yeah. We all have an opinion on what education should look like because we've all been through it. Mm-hmm. You can't say that with, like, you can't get into an airplane and go,
I know how to fly.
I know how to fly this plane. Like, we've all flown. Like, this is easy. Like, but with education, we all feel that we've got some experience. And we do. We all have experiences that we pull from. We all know what worked for me or what didn't work for me. We all, like, I can't tell you how many times I've sat with parents or grandparents who are like, well, and, you know, when my kids were in school, mm-hmm. this is what this looked like. And I think it's going back to, okay, that might have been what it looked like when we were in school, but what is our research telling us about our understanding of what works in education? And, you know, so many of these things kind of circle around. So it's looking at evidence. What does the evidence tell us is working with our students? Or what are some of the, how can I, a classroom teacher, work with my parents, and we're both together helping our students construct new knowledge and develop an understanding, because that knowledge is contextualized and we all play a role in helping our students and children learn. And that's kind of, I tend to lean towards a social constructivist theoretical background, where, you know, knowledge is socially constructed and we are very much a product of the people we are around, and how are they helping us move through that zone of proximal development as we're gaining new knowledge and skills. And the parents are very much have a role in that. And it takes helping them understand how they can support their students, or helping them understand why you're doing some of the things in the classroom and how that's going to benefit your student long term. But those aren't easy conversations, because we've all got kind of this preconceived idea of what education should be or can be or must be. And it's not always clear cut, and it isn't always the same for everybody.
Yeah. What I'm taking away from it is I'm hearing that you're giving more space for learning in all capacities, and not necessarily saying yes or no or this is right or wrong, but saying as long as we're not doing harm, we're opening up a larger conversation. Is there something there's no right answer to this one. So let me start.
No
by
pressure,
saying that.
Russ.
Right?
Geez.
Exactly. Is there something you, when you come to work as Dr. Kristen Brennison, director of NIU STEAM, and you're doing all of this work with teachers and all different educational realms, is there something that you would like to see happen, maybe within our local community, but also as a country and even on the global scale of saying, this is why I'm, this is what I'm going for, and this is where I would like to see it?
Oh, goodness. That's a big question. I fall back to some of the things that we do talk about in our teacher PD. And, you know, we're trying to set up learning environments where the learner, whether it's an adult, a kid, whoever, is that enthusiastic learner who approaches things with reckless abandon. And, you know, I'm the first person who would tell you that if you put me in a geometry class and gave me proofs, I would not approach that with reckless abandon.
I would abandon it as quickly as possible.
I understand the reason for them. But I think it's – I love to be in a room where people are excited to learn something new. Like when you are in a room and you've got that energy of people asking questions and bouncing ideas off each other, like I don't know if you've ever been in those, whether it's a classroom with kids and like the questions are just bouncing off the walls and you can see them excited about wanting to know more or really trying to puzzle something out of
yeah.
like, why is this the way it is? And, or like that level of passion in their voice when they're like, well, I want to know this. Why is that? Or even the quiet rooms where their people are so focused that they get lost in the flow of just building something. Not because they have to, not because they should, but because they want to and it's there and they can. I think that's we're so sometimes boxed into this education. You're learning when you are doing XYZ.
Mm.
We're learning all the time.
Yeah.
Every interaction we have with people, every second that we're alive in this world, we're learning something. And it's how do we approach that from that kind of it's that fostering an enthusiasm for learning is really what we come back to and we talk about with our, like, how do we help people ask a question and then figure out how to pursue, like how to answer it and not wait for someone to give them the answer or not be told that the answer they've come up with is wrong, but they really want to explore it and debate it and talk about it. I think about those fourth graders. If you've been around a fourth grader before and they're obsessed with something, and that's all they can talk about. And that's all they want to watch or read about. And I will tell you, that fourth grader knows everything there is to know about everything even tangentially related to whatever their mm-hmm. latest obsession is. And it's fantastic. And how do we bring that kind of fourth grader obsession enthusiasm to all learning experiences that we have? Because that's when it gets really fun.
Yeah.
Like, learning is fun. I love walking into a classroom and they are laughing and squealing and, you know, just it's an energy like nothing you've ever felt before. And it's like that's what I would love to say every classroom's like. I know that it's not what every classroom's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, when you're in that moment, it's a lot of fun. It's with adults too. If
right.
you've ever been around adults who are doing, like, it's tons of fun. I've been in teacher PD where we've got that level of energy
mm-hmm.
because somebody saw something that sparked a new idea and they want to talk about it and they want to flesh it out. And then that person talking about it gets this person thinking about it. And you get this chain reaction of like innovative thinking that is exhausting in the best possible way. that's my dream for school. If I could build a school, that's what it would. We'd just sit around. It would be this amazing energy of wanting to know more.
Yeah. I wish that for all. I think we can all agree. So let's say you're a teacher, you're someone who's working with students, or you are working with professionals that are going to be teaching something, human resources, whatever it may be, someone who's going to be in a position where they're going to help convey knowledge to other people. And after listening to you, they're like, I want my space to feel like that. I want the energy. I want that one. What's the best way to start that conversation with NIU STEAM regarding training, any of the plethora of tools that we offer?
I think the best thing to do is we love to sit down and talk to somebody about their goals. What is it you hope to accomplish? What do you see success looking like if you were to make changes? And then it's putting together, so how can we support that? Can we do that through training? Can we do that through coaching? Do you want us to come in and co-teach, model things? Do you just need us as a sounding board and we can kind of talk through? Do you want sample lessons? But I think it's really difficult when we get some of those emails, they're like, what do you got? It's like, well, what do you need? Like, let's have the what do you need conversation first, because I think that's really important. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. It's not do X, then Y, then Z, and everything will be amazing. It really is, what are your goals? How are we going to measure those goals? What is this going to look like when you meet your goals? Now let's work together to figure out how we're going to get you there. What's the path? What's the journey? You know, what are some of the different things that, what are some of the things that could happen and take us in different directions? What are some of the constraints we have? What are some of the possible things that we need to work around? But it just starts with a conversation and asking the question, well, what do you want to accomplish? What do you hope to achieve?
Amazing. I think that already like relieves some anxiety for people out there. Because I think a lot of times when you're interested, you have to have all of these things. You have to have everything laid out, a full proposal. And sometimes you're like, we don't even know. We just know this isn't working. And that's still okay to come and reach out and explore.
That's the first step in our design cycle is ask. Like it all comes back to you got to ask the question before you can have any idea of what the answer might be. And you might have to try a couple things and... So, yeah, I think it's also this idea that STEAM is going to maybe look different in different settings based on, you know, everything we talk about is very tied to local context and local needs. And what is it you are trying to do within your community, within your school, for your students to help them succeed and be, you know, career ready, college ready, life ready, whatever ready you want them to be. What does that look like and how do we help you get there?
That is awesome. And so if anyone is listening is interested, if you have questions or you don't know your questions, but you want to start that conversation, feel free to reach out to us at niustem@niu.edu. That's niustem@niu.edu. I know Kristen and the team will be very excited to have those conversations with you and lay out some way to continue this growth and this acceptance of energy in the classroom. Kristen, thank you so much for being here today. I hope you enjoyed this conversation.
This was. Thank you, Russ.
Thank you for listening to this STEAM Spotlight. The editor and composer of the STEAM Spotlight theme song is Jason Shaw. Thank you to our partners, NIU STEAM and Northern Illinois University, for supporting this podcast. If you would like to learn more about the work we do, please check us out online at niustem.niu.edu. Thank you so much for listening. The STEAM Spotlight is a production of the STEAM Studio. Please make sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review to help others discover our show. You can listen on platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.